Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour fist pump time on the Fan Cam Twitch and YouTube. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com is set to join us at 9:20. We're going to talk about the passing, the tragedy with the passing of Gavin Escobar in this rock climbing accident. We're about to crosstalk with Medhurst and Russell. My guy Chris Russell has been covering the Washington football team forever from the team 980 in D.C. We will wait to get the go-ahead to preview the game on Sunday where, RJ, we both picked the Cowboys in a close one. You got a really low score.
Low score. I took 17-10. 17-10 Cowboys.
Dallas week, Cowboys, Commanders. You know, Sean, obviously, from up here, many of you know his voice, know his name. Up here, grew up a Redskins fan. Did I just say the
wrong
thing?
Are you allowed to say the R word around there?
Yes, of course I am. Hello, Sean.
Oh, what's up? Sean and RJ with Chris Russell right here on 105.3 The Fan. What's been the Dallas buildup this week? We had Theismann on yesterday.
Yeah, but, I heard that.
Of course, you know, it feels a little bit different from when I grew up around it.
Right. All right. So here's the deal. Pete and I did this thing, and Pete's flying to Denver right now, so I'm flying solo because he's got to do Navy football tomorrow. We did this thing, and we asked out of the chute, is Dallas Week dead? Because, you know, around here they call it Dallas Week.
Right.
I don't think they call it down Washington Week down there, okay? Because the Cowboys almost view the Commanders, Walruses, Walnuts, Washington football team, Redskins like a nuisance, like a gnat, okay? Yeah. So around here we still call it Dallas Week for whatever. And I said, Dallas Week is dead, or it's on life support. And what I meant by that is it's still a rivalry, right? It's still a division game. So, of course, it means something. But it's nowhere near what it used to mean because the two teams, both of them, throw up all over themselves in any chance they get in the postseason, one. And two, they haven't had simultaneous regular season success, with the exception of the 1 year I can remember in 2012 when they battled for the division crown in week 17, game 16, Sunday night football at the end of December, and the then Redskins won that game with RG3 and Alfred Morris and what have you, and won the division crown. That was the 1 year that they've had like simultaneous regular season success. So to me, I think this whole Dallas Week nonsense is on life support, if not dead.
So we put up a poll question yesterday, 7,300 votes on Twitter, mm-hmm. in terms of who the Cowboys rivalry is considered to be. 91% voted Philly.
Yeah.
5%. I'm surprised it wasn't the Giants second. 5% Washington, 4% the Giants. But it's all Philly right now.
I mean, that makes sense to me from a Philly perspective and a 91% perspective. I thought you were going to say Washington didn't even get a vote.
Yeah, right.
You know, or a percentage. Because, again, the whatever you want to call them, Washington, let's just simplify it, is so inconsequential in the minds, at least from my perspective, in the minds of the Cowboys and Cowboys Nation and Cowboys fans. Why would you care about anything that Washington is doing? I know they beat them twice, meaning Washington, in 2020. That was with Ben freaking DiNucci and the fourth string quarterback, for crying out loud. I know Andy Dalton played on Thanksgiving. I got it. I'm not trying to totally dismiss it. But again, the point of the matter is, you know, to me, you guys have issues that you're dealing with coming off of a short week, 2-1, Cooper Rush, getting some guys back, all that. We'll get into that. Washington around here, forget the Cowboys. Forget Dallas week. Forget the stupid black uniforms. Figure out how to get some offense in the first half, for crying out loud.
What is worse, the front office or the poop pipes at the stadium?
We have a theory, by the way, Chris. RJ has a theory that Snyder is allowing.
He's doing it on purpose to get a new stadium.
He's trying to sabotage the stadium?
To get a new one.
To get a new one.
That's not a bad.
It's not a bad theory, is it?
Wait, what does your buddy Jerry think about that?
Ooh. We didn't ask Jerry. Jerry will be on today at 10:30. But he always defends Snyder.
Well, I know, because they're best friends. Yeah. And speaking of which, so before we get into the rest of the game, guys, this has been my mantra forever. Okay, I wanted to write at one point an authorized biography about Dan Snyder, because I worked for the man for 5 years, right? And he treated me fine. Okay. But I wanted Jerry to do the foreword, and I got word that he would do it, right? Because I found out that long ago that they were like best friends.
Yeah.
And this is what I think, like, for every Commanders fan, for every media person, NFL person, whatever, that is like angry at Dan, frustrated with Dan, whatever, until Jerry drops his defense and his patronage, if you will, of Dan, his defense of Dan, the Dan defense,
yeah,
until Jerry walks away and turns his back on him, Dan ain't going nowhere, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, I think if you could pick any owner and get rid of them and judge the parade that would be thrown in the city, like Sarver and the Suns, that reaction... Nothing. Snyder is the number one seed.
Right.
But Chris, let's talk about where you guys are.
But you guys agree, until Jerry turns his back on Dan, Dan's not going anywhere, which may be a good thing for the Cowboys, right?
Yeah, and also none of these owners want all their S exposed.
Right, exactly.
Right? So they don't want to start turning on each other, and then it's like, oh, okay, we'll go ahead and blow your spot up.
Absolutely.
All right, the feeling towards the team, does it feel like it's same old Washington after the week one win against Jacksonville? And where are things with Carson Wentz as the future quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, there was some optimism, of course, after that week one win. I'll tell you guys, I don't know how much of that game you guys got to see. They should have lost that game. The Commanders should be 0-3. Wentz was great early in that game and great late in that game and horrible in between. I mean, there was a 26-play stretch where they got 89 total net yards, three turnovers, and a sack, and a couple of penalties. And one of the turnovers wasn't on him, but two were, and they were horrific, okay? And in the first half against Detroit week two, he was absolutely dreadful. So was the offensive line. So was the game plan. So was the defense. Last week against the Eagles, he was dreadful all the way throughout, with the exception of one throw, a 45-yard dart down the sideline to Terry McLaurin, but absolutely dreadful throughout. Got sacked 9 times. It should have been 11 or 12, quite honestly. It wasn't, but it was 9, plenty. And right now, this Commanders team, guys, clearly their defense has issues, but I got to say, like, everyone was in love with their offense after the first 2 weeks, which I thought was a misnomer. Because, again, I kept pointing out, bad first half in Detroit, 0 points. They were down 22-0, 5-3 and out, sack, safety, whatever. And the Jacksonville stretch that I just mentioned. And now everybody found out, oh, wait a second, this is what that lunatic was talking about. Now, so until Carson Wentz, the Scott Turner, North Turner son, who's the offensive coordinator and play caller, until the Commanders, who seem to have an aversion to targeting Terry McLaurin in the first half, until they figure it out and figure out how to move the football sustainably and stay on the field and run the ball better and get their targets involved early and often and put pressure on a defense in the first half, until I see it with my eyes, I can't worry about how the Dallas Cowboys aren't going to win this game. They are going to win this game unless the Cowboys crap in their pants.
What's Wentz do well?
He throws the deep ball really well. I mentioned a 45-yard strike to Terry McLaurin down the sideline last week. That was the one good throw he made all game. The one good throw he made all game. Everything else is an absolute show, is the best way I could put it, to be nice. I mean, short game, he's not good at. He's never been good at it. This was part of my objection to getting him. In the NFL, you guys know this, right? Whether it's Dak, whether it's Cooper Rush, whether it's Jerry at quarterback, right? You have to be able to be good in the short and the quick passing game. Carson Wentz not good in that area. He has a cannon. He has a howitzer. And if you can get Terry McLaurin or Jahan Dotson, the rookie from Penn State, mid-first round pick, against Trayvon Diggs on a double move or on a vertical route, maybe he can light up the scoreboard at AT&T on Sunday. But until I see, again, him be proficient in terms of getting the ball out of his hands, which he isn't, and he hasn't been for years, until I see him being better in the short passing game, guys, I have zero faith. And this is not an overreaction to last week, because I was the idiot that screamed before they made the trade, the one person I did not want to see in Washington, D.C. as quarterback was Carson Wentz.
Ooh, what a glowing endorsement. Russell and Medhurst from the team 980 in D.C. We're cross-talking right here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan, your home of America's team. What should we be worried about?
Wait. I got to jump in here.
What?
You know I love you. RJ, I don't know how you put up with him every day.
But why not?
The whole America's team is just such nonsense. It's a technical term that you could wipe your patootie with.
Chris, who owns all the first take topics and who dominates all the Sunday night ratings? Who is number one, even though we haven't done squat in 25 years?
Well,
what's the answer?
That's just my point, is everybody talks and hypes and the Dallas Cowboys. And Stephen A. Smith is making $10 million a year. Like, he needs another job, like he got here with Odyssey. He's making $10 million a year living off of the Cowboys. And meanwhile, they throw up all over themselves in every big spot that they get.
Wait, Stephen A. Smith is with Odyssey now?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
He's an insider?
I did not.
Well, no, he's doing like three podcasts a week. He needed another job.
Anyway,
my point being is he lives off of the – I understand the ratings. I understand the eyeballs. Why do you think the Commanders are wearing black uniforms this week?
You
know.
Facing the Cowboys.
Yes, it's to get the most eyeballs on them because they're taking pre-sales now for them. Instead of bringing down the stupid benches in retaliation, which they did last December 26th, this was their answer. Why do they always want to play down in Dallas on Thanksgiving when the NFL allows it? It's because that's the most eyeballs. So I get it. I understand that. But
if you took that same poll in D.C. towards the rival, would we be one or would Philly be one?
I think the Cowboys would be one.
Okay.
But I would say, surprisingly, there's been a lot of people sentiment for the first time ever agreeing with me this week on Twitter and on the phones yesterday that Dallas week is on life support. You know how they call it Dallas, which, again, you guys don't call it Washington week.
Right.
Okay, call it Dallas week, that it's on life support or it's dead because, again, no playoff success for either team. And there hasn't even been the simultaneous regular season success. The one thing I'll say, the Cowboys, a lot of regular season success, right? I mean, but just no postseason success in the last quarter. Washington, as you guys know, has had way less regular season success.
Does it feel like a culture change finally under Rivera and Del Rio, or does it still feel toxic?
It felt good in 2020, like there was a changing of the guard. And I think Ron has brought some level of respectability to the organization and dignity, but it's just not enough.
22 for hard out.
Hasn't been there. And because they've made so many mistakes in so many other ways.
We can go earlier if you need to go earlier.
Those of you in your audience, I don't know if you guys talked about it, they just didn't do a good enough job honoring the legacy of Sean.
Sounds good.
Retiring his number, it was like a mishmash. And because of all the Dan stuff, from the harassment and from the legal end, and because he won't stop suing people, and because they've made other mistakes and haven't won enough, it feels like Ron has turned around some things, but clearly not enough. I know you guys hate Mike McCarthy, or not hate.
Hey, he's our best.
We have him on every Friday.
I shouldn't say you guys. I'm saying Cowboys fans. Sorry, my bad. Cowboys fans hate Mike McCarthy. They think he's a fool. I think Mike McCarthy's fine. I think he's a pretty good coach. I'll just say this, okay? Ron, for the first time, is feeling heat around here. Like the heat that Mike gets all the time down there, Ron is starting to feel the heat from a football perspective because people don't see enough progress. So now Now they're starting to lose patience with the overall direction of the franchise on the field, along with some of the mishaps off the field.
All right, Chris, tell us what we should actually, you have to answer it. Yes. What should we actually be afraid of in this game, and who is your official pick Sunday?
Okay. You should be afraid of Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, and Curtis Samuel, the threesome there.
Okay.
If they get untracked, and again, if they can attack the safeties and Trayvon Diggs and get Trayvon maybe a little aggressive, maybe a little overeager, you should be afraid of that because Wentz can make you pay. That's number one, first and foremost. You should not be afraid of their pass rush. You should not be afraid of Washington secondary. It stinks. You should not be afraid of their run defense. They're lousy, too. You should not be afraid of their offensive line or special teams. All of it stinks outside of the howitzer that Wentz has if he's given time and if he gets rid of the ball to one of those three guys, specifically McLaurin and or Jahan Dotson. That's number one. And then my official pick, I don't know where you guys are going, but my official pick that I made on my, I haven't made it on the radio show, but I made it on the Locked On Commanders podcast, which you can listen to and watch.
Odyssey!
And,
oh my God.
And it's on the Odyssey app
Take
too,
that,
boys.
Stephen A.
I got three jobs. I just don't make $15 million a year. It's 21-13 Cowboys. So I think the Cowboys cover the number and win the game outright. I don't think it's a blowout by any means. I would be stunned if it's like 35-13 or something like that. I mean, stunned might be strong, but I think the Cowboys win the game by a touchdown, maybe a little more.
We went low-scoring Cowboys win. Before the Eagles game that you all played, I was going to pick the Commanders because I didn't think – that, you know, Cooper Rush and the offense could score, but that Eagles game just, I mean, it there's nothing on paper, I don't think, that says that the Cowboys should lose, except Wentz is the more talented quarterback. If someone is going to make more QB plays, it should be Wentz, but it's just so scary.
His decision-making is terrible.
We went Cowboys.
I don't know how much time we have left, but I worry, and you guys can tell me, I worry about all the other, like, B parts or C parts of the Cowboys hurting the Commanders in this game than, say, CeeDee Lamb or
Micah.
You know, or Micah, right? I, not that I'm not worried about those guys. I'm worried about the Noah Browns. I'm worried about Dalton Schultz if he comes back. I'm worried about Gallup if he comes back. I'm worried about, like, you know, help me out here. One of those defensive
Pollard
line guys.
Dorrance Armstrong.
Pollard. Armstrong was the kid that I was thinking. Pollard, obviously. That's what I'm worried about, breaking the back of the Commanders in this game.
Thank you, brother. This was fun. You always keep it real. Enjoy the game and try to survive the season as always.
My guys, I'm so jealous of you that you get an NFL owner that you can talk to every week and an NFL head coach. We get none of that around here. So you guys are the best. I love you. You know, even though you're Cowboys stinkers and all that stuff.
Thank you, Chris. There is Chris Russell. He can talk.
Yeah, he can.
He's full of energy.
Yes, he is.
That was a segment off for us.
It's early in the morning. He's full of energy. Not for him.
10 o'clock there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. So there it is. A little perspective. It already feels like season over for them. The team 980 in DC.
That's that.
Jacksonville win. Right downhill.
It sucks to be. We thought the season was over to week one.
I know. Let's figure out if Tank, Gallup, and Schultz are playing, and let's talk about the life of Gavin Escobar after the tragedy that came out yesterday with Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.